Hey everybody, good afternoon and happy Friday. This is the Plant-Based Morning Show / Afternoon Show. We do have to come up with the right name for this show. But three of us are here. Matt Frazier is I, Doug Day, Isabel Caputo. That's kind of the usual three on this show now. Matt Tolman sometimes joins us, not today though. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Great. Yeah.
We've got the in-laws visiting for a little while, so.
Ooh.
Your in-laws?
That's fun.
My in-laws. Yeah, I can hear the pitter-patter of the children playing upstairs.
Oh, yeah? Are they listening live to the show to hear what you say about them?
Oh, I'm sure. Hey, guys.
Yeah.
I'm doing well, Matt, but I'm still trying to figure out this afternoon drink choice. I can't figure out what to drink in this show. The morning show, I always have a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm. Not just ice water?
It's LaCroix.
LaCroix. Okay.
But it's an ice. And now, there's some jingling there. I don't know.
Right. I saw an article yesterday saying ice drinks bad for you, according to some Ayurvedic woman. Mm.
Mm. Yeah, I've heard that. But you know what?
Gastric stuff.
There are a lot of things that are bad for me that I do. So
depending on your dosha, you know that might not be good
for
you.
Right. That's mm-hmm. right. Yeah, it's hard to believe that ice drinks would be a problem, but people will find anything wrong with anything. Yeah, I don't know. You could start drinking beer or something, maybe a little early for that.
I think you should do a different one every time. Every Friday, a different drink.
Different drink.
Yeah.
All right. Just
which one keep us guessing.
Brings the best energy.
Maybe next week will be beer. We'll see.
Okay, good. Well, good afternoon to Brandon Turner, Sarah Slemp, and Scott Mulholland, all of whom have checked in and said good afternoon / good morning. Hopefully more will come in. Actually, more are here already, but feel free to chime in just as much as the morning show. You can participate in this show. Makes it better for us and for you. So please do that. We get some fun stuff to talk about today. We're always trying to make a little bit of a fitness slant today. So in addition to controversial new research about plant-based meats, the one that I kind of knew were coming, the one that finally finds something worse about them than regular meat, and the media will run with it. We got that. But then we also have a fitness thing. These walking treadmill, what are they called?
Walking pads.
Walking pads, yeah. So we'll talk about whether that's a good idea or a dumb idea. But there's an article. They're getting some press coverage. None of us are on.
I was going to say, how do you know I'm not on one right now?
Well, because you're not down to come down. Exactly that.
I got into a big debate last night with a friend about AI. Mm-hmm. And he's a teacher. He's a college professor. He is really anti-AI. Just because he sees kids cheating with it all the time and it's impossible to keep them from doing so.
Yep.
And it was just it was like a reminder that because I use ChatGPT almost every day in some capacity, you know, with questions for interviews or just kind of help me brainstorm stuff. It's become a handy tool, but it's interesting. It was an interesting reminder about how, like, depending on your profession, depending on your lifestyle, it can be. You can either view it very positively or have some real fears around it. Mm-hmm. Where are you guys leaning on the AI front right now?
I think I've talked about this before. I used to work in student conduct at schools. So like when students would cheat in college, like they would come to my office to talk to me. Mm. And I'll be honest, I am incredibly thankful that I don't do that anymore because I can't imagine like how they're addressing that because it's so prominent, so readily available at this point in time. So
yeah.
I don't really use it anymore ever. I for a week or two, I mean, for about a month, I was occasionally doing it. Still not as much as like regular Googling, but I'd when I would think of it, I'd go to ChatGPT and see. But I never got really too much good work out of it. So I don't know. I just stopped using it. I don't understand how you can be anti-AI. Like that's like being, I'm anti- any other inevitability that's coming, like what does it matter if you're anti it? It's still coming. Like it doesn't.
Yeah.
You just think it's bad. You're just kind of going to say I was right once it happens and it ruins the world.
Yeah. Pretty much.
guess so. Once the robots come and take over. I like it. I think I lean more towards, like, if I'm going to Google something to, like, do some research or look something up, I typically go to ChatGPT first now. Cause I'm like, why do like 20 minutes of work when I can like have it do, you know, for 5 minutes for me and, you know, cut that time down.
Because the computing power is terrible for the environment. That's why you should Google.
Has it stopped like giving completely wrong answers and then not suggest like not even
giving? Oh, I don't think it's stopped. But it does tell you where it gets its answers from now, oftentimes. Okay. It'll give you a link to the source. Uh-huh. It'll like give you a link to the article.
It includes a disclaimer a lot of times too of like, you know, lots of things vary and you shouldn't trust this information.
Okay.
Do your due diligence.
That is good. Cause I mean, it would sort of give you things with certainty before that sometimes would be completely wrong.
Yeah.
And that was a problem. All right, good. So there's your AI minute. Isabel, you said you signed up for a race. What is this? You already did that a couple months ago, I thought, or a couple weeks ago.
I'm like constantly signing up for them at this point. I almost signed up for the 50 miler. I know I've been saying that I will for a long time, but I had a question to ask. You know how they give you more information. So the 50 miler that I'm going to do has tent camping available, like at the race site, but you have to sign up when you're signing up for the race. And we have a trailer. So I want to bring the trailer and, you know, live in my bougie camping life for this. So I'm not there yet, but I found a half marathon that is like 40 minutes down the road for me, which is like unheard of where I live. Like there's nothing close. It's like an hour and a half or 2 hours. And I'm really excited about it. It has a ton of elevation, which is why I'm doing the half marathon. Cause it's right between my 50K and my 50 miler. So it's just going to be like a fun little, elevation training time. I'm excited about it.
Sweet.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah. They have a 50K and a 50 miler and a 100 miler too. So who knows? It might be my local race that I'm going to start checking out.
Oh, they have all those for being only 40 minutes. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Is it a new race?
What?
Is it a new race?
No, I think they've been doing it it either said like 5 years or 15 years. I know that's a big gap, but, it's been going for a while. There's a, in like the kind of Rocky Mountain region of Colorado into Utah, like that whole area. It's a race organization that does ones all around that area.
Cool.
I had never heard of it though. So I'm just discovering the organization, which I'm really excited
about. You should start every year. You should do one level higher. One distance higher.
It's a great idea. Yeah.
Well, are all the other race distances like just as hilly as the half marathon is?
It gets worse and worse. Because I was looking at the 50K and I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to, like a month after doing the 50K that I'm doing, which has like 5,000 feet of elevation change, maybe more, maybe 6,000. I don't remember. This one has, I think, like 8 or 10 in the 50K. And then, it just gets worse and worse or better and better, depending on your view.
No, worse and worse. Definitely. I don't do much elevation runs at all, very few. But when we did that Spartan race out in San Francisco, the half marathon took me 3 hours, I think. And it was awful.
How much elevation was it?
I don't remember, but it was like crazy. It was like, I mean, it was long hikes up hills for, you know, 15, 20 minutes at a time and several of them in a half marathon. It was just, I guess that's what serious trail running is, but not for me.
I know, like I'm all excited about this and Fraser is acting like it's the worst experience.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I would book flights, book races east and come do some easy stuff.
I don't know what that's like. Yeah.
All right. Good. Well, good luck for you. Your camping dilemma. I don't understand that. You said you didn't sign up or you haven't signed up yet.
Because you have to sign up for a campsite while you're signing up for race. And I want to find out more information first, it's coming.
If your camper is an option, why would you opt for a tent?
Exactly.
Why would you even consider that? So you don't need more information. You're done. You're set.
But I need to know if I need a campsite. That's
for that camper. Okay.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. Tough decisions.
Yeah, it is. All right. Good. Well, let's jump into our show. We got more. We got more running stuff to talk about right off the bat here. So here we go. First up, Doug, you share this one with me. Russell Cook, the man nicknamed Hardest Geezer, has successfully run the full length of Africa, crossing the finish line in Tunisia after 352 days. I mean, my question is why? Why would anyone do that? I don't know. It doesn't make sense. Anyone want to comment on this?
What do you mean? You used to be all about running across America.
Yeah, where there weren't armed robbery risks or passport getting taken or whatever. It doesn't take 352 days also. It takes like I don't know, maybe 100 for me. Visa issues where he had to appeal to Elon Musk somehow and other to get that fixed. I mean, I just don't understand why you possibly wouldn't do this.
To be the first.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It sounded like it was like a personal journey, as it always is, especially with ultra runners. Like, yeah, he was going out to conquer something and raising money for charity.
Right, I think that's good.
Yeah. I don't understand his nickname, but I like it.
What's interesting?
You know this guy, Doug? Like, do you know what have you heard of Hardest Geezer before?
So I've followed him a little bit over the last year, and it's been a year. I followed him a little bit throughout this journey. And I mean, he's run into all kinds of crazy obstacles he's had to overcome to make this happen. And it seemed like, as someone who wasn't paying that close attention, it seemed like there wasn't a ton of prep as far as like, you know, getting the visas ahead of time and all that stuff. He almost had to call it quit because he couldn't call it quits like a few weeks ago because he couldn't get into the final country. But I don't know. I mean, I think it looked very incredibly brutal and like this very long journey. And he had a crew of maybe two with him in the van that they took. And I can't imagine being a crew for a whole year.
A year. Yeah. This is an entire year.
Yeah. That's crazy. Right.
I guess they just took some of the funds out of the charity money and used it for their run, like expenses, and kind of lived off of that.
Yeah, maybe so. But that's a long time to dedicate to someone else's run, you know?
Yeah. This says on day 200, he was forced to reduce his mileage and intensity at the request of a doctor in Nigeria. That sounds like fun. And then missed consecutive days on 205 and 206. And then he said, I took a couple of days to get some scans. No bone damage, so figured the only option left was to stop mincing about like a little weasel, get the strongest painkillers available, and zombie stomp road again. It's like, I read that, I was like, I just cannot relate to this human being at all.
That sounds like every ultra runner ever is like, nah, just keep going. Just keep going.
I mean, can you imagine quitting after 200 days? No way. You're getting zombie stomped just out of pure stubbornness.
Yeah.
They said 360 marathons in 240 days with no rest days. Well, I don't get that because it took 300.
Well, because he didn't accomplish that. That was the goal.
Oh, he didn't do. Okay, I see.
He had all these hiccups that happened, which is why it took longer.
Okay. So what was his average per day? I guess you can't really say that because there's some days where he was totally dealing with passport issues and stuff.
I don't know.
Yeah, I just, like
20 miles.
Somehow running across the United States certainly will have its own issues. It still seems sort of like a test of your running ability. This one just like, it seems like you have to like, you got to deal with getting armed robberies and stuff. It just doesn't seem like a running challenge anymore. Obviously it is a part of that, but it's like, who can
I don't think that's a guarantee. Right. I don't think that's part of the challenge. It's like, and along the lines, you will get robbed.
But he did though, right? I mean, he got robbed.
Yeah, he got robbed. He took passports, visas. Maybe that's what happened, what caused the visa issue. I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. Just, it's like those Barclays marathons. Like that, even that, like once you have to do orienteering or whatever, then I'm like, I'm kind of out on that. Like it's just not, it's no longer a running thing. It kind of sounds fun. It's like this other test.
Well, it's a different type of fun. Yeah,
it's exactly.
Right. But like you've accomplished something that you kind of invented, and then I'm like, well, who cares if you made up a challenge? But this one, I guess, is okay.
This one isn't an invented thing, right? I mean, like people have been running the distance across things forever.
True. Yeah. You're right.
Or rowing across the Atlantic or whatever. I mean, you know, to get
swimming around.
When A to point B.
Yeah.
Human powered.
So he was the first person to do this, right?
Yeah. And I think there's someone else actually doing it right now, which is funny.
Someone's got to run the length of Asia now. One up him.
That would be a long time.
I mean, that'd be the most length you could run, right? Oh, no, you just double back, push a baby.
There was a guy a while ago who unicycled across the world. across every continent on a unicycle.
That's awesome.
I think that guy went to my college and he was always out on the lawn being an idiot.
Yeah, Matt Frazier, what a pessimistic day we're having.
I know. I got a pessimistic take on the walking pads too when we get to that. So,
all right.
So look forward to that. Yeah, I didn't have a good sleep last night. A lot this week I've had bad sleeps. I don't know. I'm kind of went backwards a little bit. Mm. I was doing well. Mm. All right. And the other bit of news, some positive here. I have nothing bad to say about this one at all. In fact, I have only positive things to say. UK-based football boot brand, that's football shoes to you and me, Sokido, has announced it will stop using kangaroo leather due to ethical concerns about the material. And here's what they said, and I like this part. For a while, they were doing it. They said it's sort of okay because it's a byproduct. The population needs to be controlled of the kangaroos, and I didn't realize that, but apparently it does. And they're having to kill them. I'm sure the meat gets sold or whatever, and they also take the skins and they use it for different things. And people have always liked kangaroo leather in soccer cleats. This is a favorable thing for whatever reason. But they said now they've realized that the population is actually is like at critical low levels now. So it's not about population control anymore. So they're saying this is now wrong to keep doing this. And I just think that's a really like responsible thing to say for if you're a soccer company. Like very easy to just get on that train of like, oh, this is needed and we're just using a byproduct, so we're not doing anything ethically wrong. But to be on that and then say, hey, this is not right. We're getting off this train. That's great. I think it's fantastic. Wish I would have heard of this company so that they'd have some chance of survival.
These were wild kangaroos that they were using, getting their leather from. No way.
Apparently. It's like the comparison to deer in North America is like,
yeah,
like the population is overrun.
No company is basing their shoe. You know, no one's using deer skin to make shoes and sell it. Right. I mean,
yeah,
these kangaroos were coming from a farm, right? It had to have been.
I don't know. I mean, if they said
what it sounds like,
it was once thought to be a sustainable byproduct of kangaroos killed to keep the population in check. So I don't really know.
I'm with you, Doug. I'm skeptical on this one too.
You think
it seems like an easy excuse of like, oh yeah, they're just a byproduct, so we're just using it anyway. And then they probably got in trouble for that, and that's why this is coming out. Which I still think it's a good stance, and like the change is the right change.
Right. As long as it's for the right reason. That's the thing. We don't know the reasons. We don't know if there's some other economic reasons to do this, and there might be. But if it truly was just that what was actually a byproduct and what was sort of a thing has become so profitable for the kangaroo hunters that, you know, now they're killing many more and this company's opted out, then good. I'm glad that that's happening. They've joined Nike and Puma, who've also done the same thing, pledged to stop using kangaroo leather this last year. So there you go. Now they can say we're in the same conversation as Nike and Puma. Maybe that's why they did it. So they can up their street cred.
Maybe.
And they're launching a new vegan boot, the Scudetta. It's made from corn waste, sugarcane, bamboo, castor beans, and tensa wood fibers.
That I am excited about. It sounds like a shoe that I could just throw in my compost when I'm done with it.
It sure does. I'll see if my son Holden knows about this brand, and I'll suggest it if he doesn't.
So there you go. I might be wrong about this.
Doug, you're looking very skeptical.
Well, I'm doing a little Wikipedia-ing here, and it looks like there's something called the Professional Kangaroo Shooter's License that you can obtain, and you have to follow, if you're for commercial use, you have to follow certain commercial guidelines. So maybe there is kangaroo hunting that's happening and not farming. Right. Seems wild to me that an entire industry would be based on people hunting.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is Australia.
It is Australia.
You never know what goes on in the outback. All right. Let's see. All right. Sarah Slum says, don't ruin the walking pad for me. It's already heating up in the desert and I'm not an early riser.
Just wait. So,
okay. Let's jump to the walking pad. Let's talk walking pad and then we'll get into the news about the Impossible Burgers.
Let me hop on mine real quick.
Yeah. So the is from Washington Post. Are walking pads worth it? Why I'm never leaving my desk treadmill. And those are the same thing, by the way. Walking pad, desk treadmill, those are synonyms. It's just that the walking pad is much smaller than a typical treadmill would be. But the article is, you know, a woman who has started using this, I guess she started using it post-COVID, like a lot of people who increased their sitting time dramatically with COVID maybe. And she's all about it. She says it's great. And very rarely does she say, like, for exercise reasons. And that's actually what's most interesting to me. I mean, it is good, obviously, to keep the exercise up. It's a nice thing. And I don't know if, you know, this is really the same or similar to walking outside as far as exercise go. Perhaps it is. But she talks about focus, anxiety, the ability to, I guess this comes back to focus, like the ability to keep staying on a task because your body, when it's walking, is like, you know, it's actually has to, for whatever reason, be occupied by that. And then like suddenly she's not biting her nails or whatever, and not thinking like, oh, I should pick up my phone and see what's there, because this task of having to walk while you're doing your thing is enough to keep your brain on track. So I think it's really interesting. She says it's only $200, I think hers was. Yeah, on Amazon. And it's small. It's not like a huge treadmill. I don't know. I think this is kind of a cool thing. So I haven't given my negative take yet, but are you guys...
I know.
Yeah, okay.
I'm waiting for it to drop.
The negative part is I just kind of feel like it's just sort of trying to simulate stuff, and it's just like more fake stuff. Like instead of go outside, like, you know, be on your computer, absorbed in the screen, but it's good now because you're walking. And it just seems more like that whole optimization world, like optimize things, optimize everything possible so that even your minutes when you could just be standing, now you're walking. It's like, when are we going to just like stop?
I don't know, Matt. That feels like a little bit.
Walk when it's time to walk and work when it's time to work. And it's okay if you're not, you know, moving.
Why can't you walk and work at the same time?
You can. It's just, I don't know. It's not exactly natural. I don't think in the history of humanity, people have walked while they work. Like you would generally focus on your task and you just do your task. You don't need to also walk during it.
Unless it's physical labor.
But people move while they work all the time.
Yeah.
And now we're doing jobs that don't require much movement.
That's true. So we sort of simulate that, and it's okay. It's just a little.
Yeah. That's the evolution. We used to all be farmers. And so there was no problem like hunting, gathering, farming.
Yeah, we used to all be hunting kangaroos.
Right. Well, I don't see you guys walking up and down on walking desk. You act like this is the best thing in the world. Isabella is actually.
No, I just I think your take is a little short-sighted. But I think it's kind of cool. I have a standing desk or a sit-stand desk that can go up and down.
Mm-hmm.
And if I want to be the most focused, like sometimes I come in, I want to sit down for a while, whatever. But like if I'm like, okay, I got to take care of a big project and I really need to focus and really need to write, I'll put on a little music, I'll lift my desk up and I'll stand, and it will really help set the stage for me. And so I imagine that the same thing can happen with people who are walking. And if that works for you, then I think it's awesome. So that's part one, the focus part. Part two is, there's some headline in this article. It's like people just want to move more or something like that. And I feel that if I've been sitting at my desk all day, especially if I'm hunched over a little bit, when I'm done working, all I want to do is move and stretch and, you know, run around and play and stuff like that. And so if walking can kind of prevent that from my body being like, then that's a great thing.
I like that word. We have exclusively standing desks. Like I don't sit. Rarely, if ever, which I feel exactly the same, Doug. Like I feel like I'm able to focus better, and like it occupies, you know, part of my body. I've been looking at these. I'll be honest. I've been looking at a walking pad. I've been thinking about getting one. Now Matt Fraser will never accept me if he sees me walking on one all the time. But
I'm actually interested. I might do it.
Yeah. I think they're super cool for the fact that like, you're taking a task where you have to be like, you have to be stationary if you are somebody who works on their computer, and you're adding movement to it. And to me, like that can only be beneficial to anybody, is to add a little bit more movement into your day. My biggest hold up on the walking pad is I don't know if I can run on it. And I really want to be able to run on it, not while I'm working, but I want to be able to run on it too.
Mm. Yeah, but you don't want to run on one of these like things without the handles and all this stuff.
But I want one that I can use for both.
Why do you need the handles to run? just for safety?
Dangerous.
Like, I don't know. They look like they're just so thin and small. It just feels like if you were just actually run on it, it'd be easy to fall off.
The reviews that I have read, because like I said, I'm doing my research on this, is that like they're also not really meant for that kind of load that you're putting on it when you're running. So that's why I haven't pulled the trigger yet.
Well, I'd imagine somebody will make, or if they're not already making one that is meant to handle the load, you're gonna pay more for it, obviously, and has a little detachable bar that you can put for safety while you're, you know, when you want to run. I'm sure you can find that.
I'm gonna find it.
I'm looking on Amazon. They're all around $200. There's tons of options. Yeah,
I would have thought they were much fun then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was just at somebody's house the other day who had one of these. My daughter's friend. I should have asked her about it.
Try it?
No, I didn't try it. I may have asked her about it. I forget.
Go try it.
Well, I didn't try it. I mean, I know what it's going to be like.
It's going to be walking on us.
So they asked the question at the bottom is, are you unprofessional? Or do I look unprofessional? Yeah. I will say this. This is kind of the negative thing that I would say. Not that you necessarily look unprofessional, but it's distracting when you're talking to somebody and they're just moving back and forth the whole time.
Yeah, that'd be a little annoying.
I do find that distracting.
Yeah, I would agree.
But
don't use it while you're on camera.
Yeah, you just turn it off.
Oh.
Oh, lost
Frame. Lost him.
I don't know. Would you would you turn it off when you were Zooming?
It depends on the meeting. Probably with our team, I probably wouldn't. But if I was doing something more professional, if you will, then yeah, I probably would turn it off. What I really want is one of the self-propelled ones. You know, that you have to like get going.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have to keep it going. That's what I want. Because it takes a little bit Matt more muscle organization.
Matt told me he used to ride his bike on camera. That was distracting for sure. Because then he's like all hunched over. He's like.
Yeah, I mean, you guys may have said this when I accidentally left the room. You just wouldn't use it. Just turn it off then, right?
No problem. Yeah. Yeah.
You still
just don't use it then.
Get the benefits.
Yeah.
I think this is good. I'm interested. I mean, I'm surprised to hear you guys say that you focus better with it, with the standing. Because whenever I had the standing up and down thing, IntelliDesk, is that what it was called? But no, Veridesk.
Veridesk.
And I actually sold it because I stopped standing up. So I just got rid of that thing. But I would always, if I had to really focus on a task, I would always put that desk down, sit down and focus on it. Because I felt like I would do, when I was standing, I would do easy little tasks and I would just procrastinate the big, it was just like one, it takes so much work to like, you know, focus mental energy to go attack the task that you just, the big one. So like, I want all my resources. I don't have to be standing for that. You know, I want to like, nothing else that's going to drain willpower.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the opposite.
Yeah. I would say it's probably a difference in just how our brains are hardwired. Like some people probably focus better when they're able to like it's like the fidget spinners. Like I rarely do I ever use them, but I know people that like it's so helpful for them to be able to focus if their hands are off, you know, doing something else.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, somebody's got to get one of these and let us know how it's all going. If we review it on the show, you can do it as a tax write-off probably.
Not really in that case.
If we used company funds for it, it would be a tax write-off for the company, I'm pretty sure, if we gave it a lengthy review.
All right.
We'll see approved. What I can do.
Let's make it happen.
Heard it here.
Yeah, approved. All right. On to the next thing, and our last thing of the day I saw about this was a scary one, sort of. It says, vegan Impossible Burgers increase risk of diabetes and heart problems. New study finds you're better off with real, in caps, meat. And this is from dailymail.co.uk, one of our favorite sources for morning show topics, because they always have the anti-vegan take and they will distort whatever new study or information there is into an anti-vegan one, even when it's a pro-vegan result of a study. We've seen that happen before, where they literally give you the opposite message in their headline. And then sometimes they go on in the article to explain the truth, sometimes not. The other headline I read about it is from news-medical.net, not the most trustworthy sounding of sources, but actually they always do a nice job of summarizing things in a pretty neutral manner. This one says meat or not to meat. Not the best start. Study challenges health claims of plant-based substitutes. And basically in that one, they summarize what happened in the study much better than the other article does. It was a study that used 88 or 89 Singaporeans. So they're studying the impact of plant-based meat within an Asian dietary context. They point that out because there was a scarcity of research within there. So that's first thing to know. This is only for a specific group of people who live in a specific place. Doesn't mean it necessarily applies to everybody. What their hypothesis, and this, it sounds like the people doing the study were kind of pro plant-based people, because they point out in the background, plant-based diets have been known to positively impact cardiometabolic health due to the presence of, et cetera, et cetera. But you know, despite this, a lot of people can't do it. So we're going to study how people can use these meat substitutes. And what they found, I think it surprised them, because it was against their hypothesis that these substitutes would be healthier than the meats. What they found was basically that there were no health benefits to eating the plant-based meat products instead of the regular meat products. When they split their group into two groups of 44 for 8 weeks, had some people keep eating meat, some people swap in these foods instead of their meat. And they found no health benefits, slight, I think. Now, it wasn't like a major, huge, it wasn't the headliner for this, but only for, the other Daily Mail's headline, of course, made it. But this, it wasn't. The glycemic index somehow was a little bit higher in the people who were eating the plant-based meats. So they did worse there. And then Daily Mail extrapolated that into saying, okay, well, this higher blood sugar, that means that is linked to a risk of heart problems. So even though there was no lipid, you know, cholesterol differences in the two groups, this idea that you have higher blood sugar, that could one day lead to more heart problems. That's where they get that headline. And the same with diabetes. So like, this isn't good for plant-based meats. It's also not really, it doesn't say they're worse. So I don't know. What do you guys think? What, any thoughts, questions?
I hate everything about this Daily Mail article. Everything about Daily Mail?
Yeah, I know. They are aggravating. They really are. Plant-based news, soon we'll have an article about that, guaranteed, that it will sort of debunk the headline. And Veg News will not ever mention this.
I mean, because not only is the article not telling the truth about what this they actually found, or extrapolating one little piece of it and not telling the whole picture, but they say the headline is literally Impossible Meats. Impossible burgers unhealthy. Impossible wasn't one of the foods that was tested. It was other brands that were tested.
Yeah.
And so they weren't even part
of it. It was a bunch of them, but Impossible was included.
No, it was Beyond.
Yeah, Beyond was included. I didn't know.
It was like five different ones.
Yeah, Impossible wasn't one of them.
Really? I swear I looked for exactly that because I had the same issue and then I thought I found it. I'm going to see what I did find.
Yeah, no, they list the brands. Oh, it is Impossible Beef. They didn't use an Impossible.
Oh, they did use Impossible. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Not bad. So they use a bunch of brands. Vegetarian Butcher, Beyond, you said Impossible, a couple others.
But they didn't, one problem they have with this study, it seems like all they did was tell people to eat plant-based alternatives or real meat. They didn't factor for what else other people were eating, right?
Correct.
No, not at all.
Yeah, they just replaced. Well, they did say so. They replaced their normal protein content with plant-based meats, and also said limit other protein that you're eating, so that like they're kind of solidifying the protein. Okay. They don't really. I mean, they did talk about how much it said it in grams. I looked at like the actual study, and they showed the grams that they were eating of protein per day. But again, we're talking about eating processed foods like three times a day, I think, is what the study did, basically.
Yeah. So like they just point out here that like the groups had different macronutrient intakes, which I thought was strange. Like you would think you'd kind of want to like control for that. And maybe this type of study, they couldn't the way they were doing this, but the people eating the plant-based meats actually had higher carbohydrate and lower protein. I would think that they would, because of the plant-based meats, like, you know, they kind of have many of them equal amounts of protein as the actual meat does. I would think they could control for that. But no, this group actually did have higher carbohydrate, and that it was speculated that perhaps that was why they have the higher blood sugar, because they were eating less protein and more carbohydrate. But still, like, even though this is nothing, I guess nothing conclusive, or it's not that it is inclusive, perhaps it is, but the design of the study has some limitations, obviously. It's not clear slam dunk win plant-based meats are healthier than regular meats. And I think that a lot of the marketing of them, maybe not, I don't know if it's a brand's marketing. A lot of the reasons people choose them is they think they are healthier choices, those who do. And there was the swap meat study before that was sponsored by Beyond, but did very similar 8-week thing. In that case, both groups did eat both types of meat. They just changed the order they did so in. But that one, you know, had showed positive things for the Beyond meat. So this is now the opposite of that slightly.
Slightly. There was a number of different factors that were in the conclusions, and like they were either neutral or the plant-based meats was better, except the one. And naturally they pull out the one piece, and that's what slams the headlines.
Mm-hmm.
But like I think LDL cholesterol was lower.
Say again, what was that?
I think LDL cholesterol, I think, was lower or neutral. And like that seemed to me to be a pretty big indicator of something that we should be looking at.
For sure. Yeah. I'm surprised because this, you know, the News Medical articles sounded like the lipid things were not significantly different from each other, but I hadn't looked at the actual study. Interesting.
Is this your definitive plant meats are terrible and I told you so moment, Matt, or no?
Well, what it is, this article, as I said, the people who did the study, I think they're kind of on the side of plant-based diets, which it's not good or bad because they're trying to do a neutral study here. But they said here, one of their conclusions here was that this is kind of all the more reason now not to let plant-based meats conflate the data when we're studying plant-based diets. And that's been my concern, that it will. And the people say plant-based diets aren't good because they're looking at these plant-based diets that include all this junk food, because that's what most people, I fear, will be eating who eat plant-based diets. They'll just eat this stuff and say they're eating, you know, plant-based diets. Their conclusion was that, like, you need to keep this out. It says, this implies that the health benefits of plant-based diets should not be conflated with plant-based PBMDs. I don't know, the plant-based meats, because the plant-based meats are distinct from plant-based diets in terms of their nutrition and impact on cardiometabolic health. So that's what I told you.
That's what you've been saying. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a fair conclusion. I don't know if anybody is arguing that plant-based meats aren't processed foods and shouldn't be considered in the pile of processed foods.
Right.
How many people do you think get the majority of their protein from plant-based meats?
It's a good question. Like eat plant-based meats as if they were eating an omnivorous diet.
Which is what is happening in the study here. So like how many people do you think get, you know, multiple servings a day of plant-based meats?
That's a good question.
Probably not very many. What do you think?
I would have to feel like not many, but I think plant-based meats and like those kind of alternatives are obviously like an easy transition into a plant-based lifestyle. But I can only imagine that anybody who makes that transition also starts incorporating more beans and tofu and tempeh and like these other protein sources. And so I think just the expense of those, mm-hmm. and maybe my view is flawed because of how I view them, but I'm going to buy a thing of tofu instead of, you know, for $2 instead of a thing of, beyond mm-hmm. sausages or something instead. So I don't know. I have to feel like it can't be 3 times a day for 2 months.
Well, it would be expensive, but you know, if you look at just a cross section of everybody, not just vegans, like most people aren't interested in eating healthily. They don't care about health. It's just how Americans eat and other cultures do, but Americans are especially bad at this. So when you think of all the people who are vegan just for ethical reasons or environmental reasons, and you know, like so many other people don't care about health much, like, why wouldn't they just eat plant-based meats all the time? I would think they would instead of eating beans and tofu, because those things are stranger. So I don't know. That's a good question. How many people are eating them like that?
I could see somebody who loves sausage, like that, having a breakfast sausage, having a plant-based breakfast sausage every day, right?
And they think it's protein and it's good. People do that.
And I could see people having, you know, plant-based meat for dinner every night. I mean, I guess it's not that far-fetched. I just can't imagine there are that many people that are actually doing that. But
we should do a poll and find out.
You could see how it'd be easy to happen.
Yeah. Brandon wants to know if she should nix the Impossible Tacos off her dinner menu for tonight.
Absolutely not.
No way.
I was gonna say no.
No way. That sounds delicious. If I can come over, I'll bring some homemade salsa. Let's go.
I say nix them. I'm on an anti plant-based meat campaign recently. I'm on a new kick. No. In fact, I had Subway again for lunch today.
Oh, Subway.
Because we went into my daughter's school. It's like parents go eat with the kid up on the stage. He's and hurt my daughter's favorite thing. Subway, Subway
kick right now.
What?
His new favorite restaurant. Your new favorite restaurant is Subway.
It's not mine. It's my daughter's. But I think it's pretty good. I think it's okay.
I'm a big fan of Subway too. So all those veggies piled on a sandwich. What exactly. Can't go wrong.
Yeah. Garuda's here. Garuda says hello. Garuda, you missed. What would have been your favorite topic? Okay, new article. Check out the guardian.co.uk. Vegan Impossible Burgers. I don't have it in front of me. But they basically linked to heart disease and diabetes risk, they say. So that will not be a surprise to Garuda, but I think it's sort of a flawed headline, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. I am intrigued to see what happens with this study, and like as you said, when Plant-Based News picks it up, and how this is used to communicate across the news. So, Plant-Based Morning Show, looking at you.
Oh yeah, it'll be there. This will be everywhere on Monday for sure, in the news articles. Except Veg News, they will not mention that it happened. They won't. They just don't. They don't cover these things. All right. I guess that's it. Anyone, any other stuff here? Nothing. We're done. We're done a little early. Sometimes we go along with this thing, but not this
time. We got a couple last minute comments here.
Okay.
K-pop, we got new people here. K-pop girl says, I don't like the traditional manual treadmills, but the curved ones are cool.
Oh, what's that about? I've seen those things.
Yeah. I've never run on one.
Is it just ergonomic?
Is it like this?
Yeah. It's curve. Like a... Kind of like a bowl.
But like the real ground isn't like that. That's like literally a hamster wheel shape.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd like to
that
know.
That sounds like fun.
What does it do?
I had mentioned that I want a manual treadmill. That's what I'm gonna get, Fraser, is a manual walking pad treadmill where you have to push it yourself.
And so why? Like what is that? I mean, I guess that allows you to walk without.
It's self-powered. It's self-propelled. So, like, instead of the machine running it, I have to still get it started. So it uses some different right. muscles. Because like running on a treadmill and walking on a treadmill is not the same thing as walking on a road or running on a road. It's just different.
Yeah, I've read that there was like a small difference in them, like a 0.5% of effort difference or something. But it seems like it would be a massive difference in having to propel.
I was
going
to say, I'd like to see that study because me running on a treadmill versus on the ground is wildly different. Maybe I'm just right. a weirdo. Who knows?
It definitely seems less stressful to me. Like to have, and we're talking about focus and all that, and like having your body would focus on running. If you know that the road is coming at you and you have to keep it, like that seems like it would almost be distracting and make it hard to keep working because like you can't let up your focus from the movement for a second. Whereas on your thing that you're propelling yourself, if you kind of gradually slow down over time, it would just slow down. So I like that.
Yeah. Little Google search here says that a study published by ProQuest states that manufacturers believe exercising on a curved treadmill could burn 30% more calories than a flat motorized treadmill. Researchers found that increased aerobic capacity and calorie expenditure in female athletes.
Oh, because it like it basically forces a little bit of elevation. So instead of moving the treadmill up like this, it's just like.
But are curved treadmills, are they all manual or are they motorized?
This one, what I just Googled, it says curved treadmills have advantages. Even the best treadmills don't. They're self-perpetuating, require less electricity. So maybe in general or like for the most part, by default, they are self-powered.
I don't know.
Yeah, curved manuals.
I know what I'm getting now. You're going to see me going up on elevation.
It just seems so wrong. Putting an elevation is one thing, but like, it's just if your gait is constantly like the front of it is higher and the back of it is higher, that seems like a weird thing that would get you hurt.
I don't know that
running on a hill.
Yeah, but you're not running in like an elliptical shape or whatever that is.
But you're landing in the same spot, which is like beneath your body, which is not particularly the curve. You're not landing at the top of the treadmill.
So then what's the point of those curves? What do they do?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. Well, we need to do some treadmill research before we get into walking pads.
More next week.
All right. And 40-year-old vegan says a couple things here. That's just because this is a new name. I wish they'd label animal products with the drugs, antibiotics, pathogens, diseases to be transparent. Yeah. And that's a good point. Like we always talk about, or the meat industry always talks about how their product is one ingredient, one thing on their list, and that's chicken. Whereas the plant-based versions of it have 20 things. But, you know, that's kind of a strange way to look at it. So that's a good point. Mm-hmm. And then 40-year-old vegan also likes the treadmills for longevity. Depends who's selling the curved treadmills, maybe in terms of whether or not they are self-propelling or not.
Probably correct.
And K-pop girl says there are also underwater treadmills. Are you going to get one of those, Isabel, for your...
Oh, man. Yeah.
Are you like...
I have to get a pool, I guess.
You're like, you're going to get like 15 treadmills here.
I'm just going to have a lineup of them. One that's just like in this like a dunk tank, basically.
And it could be like an ice bath, too. You can get it. At, you we're talking about spending $5,000 for one of those ice baths.
There we go. It'll be an ice bath underwater treadmill.
Just optimize everything
possible. Get it every all at once. Mm-hmm. Sounds great.
Have to run in a fasted state when you're using it.
Yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm. See, you're like making my point. This is crazy. This optimization stuff. Why we have to like have this simulated weird life? We're gonna live in the Matrix soon.
The water treadmills, I believe, are for people who are injured, mostly.
Yeah, I didn't know that existed. I thought you just go in a pool with that funny flotation thing.
And no, they have like
there are training benefits. Yeah. I don't know what they are exactly, but there are training benefits for them. They use them, like elite athletes use them too.
40-year-old vegan says that there should be a red light sauna covering the top.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there we go.
Someone needs to invent a cold plunge and red light sauna at the same time. half and half. That'd be incredible.
Warm up here.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
Yeah. That is what we need. All right. Well, thanks everyone for coming. Thanks for comments. Lively group today. I was glad to hear comments picked up a bit. We'll be back all next week, Tuesday through Friday, as always, with these morning shows and the afternoon show on Friday. So thanks for coming, and we'll see you next week.
All right. See ya.
All right. Bye.